Welcome to Friendship with God with our Bible teacher, Tom Cantor. Today's message and previous messages can be listened to or downloaded for free at friendshipwithgod.org, friendshipwithgod.org. You can also obtain free resources from Tom Cantor and view our online bookstore at friendshipwithgod.org or call us at 800-247-3051, 800-247-3051. Tom Cantor also has a daily devotional verse that comes out each day by email and on Facebook. To receive this small daily devotional verse that Tom Cantor puts out, you can sign up at friendshipwithgod.org, friendshipwithgod.org, or find Tom Cantor on Facebook by searching for Tom Cantor and Friendship with God. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Tom Cantor.
Then the Jewish people said in Isaiah 49:14, the Lord hath forsaken me, and thy Lord hath forgotten me. The Jewish people said, without God, we're finished. There's no hope for us. Just look at the Holocaust. You can see that God is not with us or for us. And they come to realize that the Gentiles received what they rejected. They're going to heaven while we're left out. Gentiles found what we lost. They're now included as part of God's people. And the Jewish people are sad, and they conclude that God has forsaken them and God has forgotten them. And that's when God steps in wonderfully. He steps in with the next verse, and God steps in and says, no, I have not. And that's in Isaiah 49:15. As Israel is concluding, we're forgotten, we've been forsaken, God steps in and says, no, I haven't. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb, that they may forget, yet will I not forget thee? Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. So here Israel sees all these Gentiles coming to God, coming to the God of Israel, and being welcomed by him as part of his people. Israel sinks into a state of depression. They sink into a state of despair. And with the Holocaust, Israel concludes, God has forsaken us. God has finished with us. God has forgotten us. And that's when God steps in and says, I have not forgotten the Jewish people. If a woman can forget her sucking child on her breast, then I can forget you, Israel. And God says to the downcast of Israel, others may forget you, but I will not forget you, Israel. The Gentile church may forget you, Israel, but I will not forget you. Look, Israel, I have graven you on the palms of my hands, and your walls are continually before me. The truth is that God is expressing that God maintains a broken heart for Israel as he turns to the Gentiles. So this is the full picture here that we have of the time we live in right now. And that's why the scripture calls the time we live in now in Luke 21:24, they shall fall by the edge of the sword, they shall be led away captive all nations, Israel shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. We live in the times of the Gentiles. We live in the times described in Romans 11:25. Romans 11:25 says, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part has happened to Israel. Thank God it's only in part. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. We live in the time of the fullness of the Gentiles coming in. The fullness of the Gentiles is coming in. And the Gentiles have come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. They are coming to God. They will continue to come to God because darkness has driven them. In Isaiah 60 verse 2, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness, the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. The Gentiles were in darkness, a darkness that could be felt, the same kind of darkness that Moses brought as one of the plagues in Exodus 10:21. Exodus 10:21, it says, the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Such a penetrating darkness. Such a personal sin. So badly felt. But in Isaiah 11:10, it says, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. The Gentiles sought the Lord because of the darkness. The Gentiles sought the Lord for the rest. He offered rest to the weary souls. He said that in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Zechariah 2:11 says, many nations, that's the word goyim, Gentiles, many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. The Gentiles press themselves into the Lord to become part of God's people. Jeremiah 16:19 says, O Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of my affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. That's the confession of the Gentiles, especially for the Gentiles coming from Indonesia and animistic Africa, even Japan, as they've come to God and they've said the Jeremiah 16:19 confession. Lies, lies, lies. Our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, things wherein there's no profit. But when God does bring the Jewish people back to him, the Gentiles will continue to fight their way because of this deep hunger, this deep need in their souls. And we see that in the prophetically in Zechariah 8:23, where it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass, that 10 men shall take hold of all languages of the earth, of the nations, of the goyim, of the Gentiles, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Do you know what these Gentiles are saying? They're saying, we don't care where we have to go. We don't care if we can't eat pork anymore. We don't care if we can't drive on Saturday. As long as God is there, because we must have God. We see there's a tenacity there. There's a tenacity to take hold of the skirt of one of his Jew and say, we'll go with you. Because we know that we need to find God. We'll go to the Jews because we know that we got to find God. He's with them. It's that very tenacity of spirit that we see in this Canaanite woman here. She's the first fruits of all this. She's the first fruits of the great turning of the Gentiles to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a transition period we're reading about where the Lord he's failed to bring Israel back to God. And God the Father is giving the Lord Jesus to be the light of the Gentiles and his salvation to the end of the earth. It's only when we see this clearly that we can understand this history here in Matthew 15 that otherwise seems very strange, so out of character for the Lord Jesus. But that was a long introduction to this history, but I had to do that. I didn't have to, but I had to do it because to make this account understandable. Now, with that in mind, we see in verse 21 in Matthew 15:21, how this Canaanite woman represents the Gentiles coming to God. It says she, in verse 22, she cried unto him. She cried. That cry was made to him because of the tenacity in her soul that she was following right in the steps of Jacob, right in the steps of Jacob, who wrestled with Jehovah Jesus all night long. And he fought with him with that same tenacity of Genesis 32:26. He said, let me go. Jehovah Jesus says, let me go, for the day breaketh. He said, Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. He was not going to take no for an answer. He was fighting. The cry of this woman is that same spirit. It's that same spirit of tenacity. It's described in Isaiah 60:3, where the Gentiles are fighting their way to come to the Lord. And the cry of this woman is with the same tenacity. The cry of this woman is like grabbing a hold of the skirts of the Jew and say, we're not going to give up. And in Zechariah 8:23, we're not going to give up. We're going to drive ourselves into become a part of God's people. Gentile believers fight to overcome all the obstacles. They fight their way to the Lord. That's why this history of this Canaanite woman is so important when it says in verse 21, behold, a Canaanite woman came out. That's why this history of the Canaanite woman is so important, because it illustrates the nature here of the fighting spirit, the tenacity. Just her description in verse 33. Just her description, a woman of Canaan. She was a Canaanite. She was excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. She couldn't change that. She was born that way. But that didn't stop her. She looked at herself and said, Canaanite or no Canaanite, I must have Jesus. I will fight my way to him. That was the first obstacle that stood in her way. That was the first obstacle that blocked her help. She was born on the wrong side of the tracks. But she didn't let that stop her, because she may have been born on the wrong side of the tracks, but that didn't stop her from crossing over the tracks to the Lord Jesus. And that's what she did. Now we see that what she said when she cried to the Lord Jesus, she said, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. She had a cry for mercy. It shows that she had no right to him to help her. So she's crying for mercy. Mercy. She say mercy, that all her hope is not based on what she was or had. Her hope, her cry for mercy was showed that 100% of her hope was based on who the Lord Jesus was. All her confidence was based on this fact of Deuteronomy 4:31. Deuteronomy 4:31. The Lord thy God is a merciful God. She knew that. Now, Nehemiah 9:17. Thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. So, with her call for mercy, she takes her place right alongside the sinner who cried to the Lord in Luke 18:13, the publican. The publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the Lord Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. So she cries for mercy. She's singing the right tune to God. God's listening, as opposed to the person who comes to God and sings the tune about his credentials. God doesn't listen. Somebody says, I'm good and righteous. That's not the right tune for God to respond to. She cries to him, she cries to him in verse 22, O Lord, thou son of David. Son of David. What is a Canaanite saying here? Canaanites don't talk about a man being God. Canaanites don't talk about a son of David, but this woman did. David was not the king of the Canaanites. David was the king of the Jews, but not for this Canaanite. She called Jesus Lord. And when she said that, she was saying, you are God. You are God. You are God who became a man, as the scriptures said. When this Canaanite called him the son of David, she was saying that I'm coming to the king of the Jews. And when this Canaanite called him the son of David, she was agreeing with the Lord Jesus, who told another Canaanite woman, another Samaritan woman, in John 4:22, you worship you know not what? We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. So when this Canaanite called him, in this verse, Lord, thou son of David, this Canaanite was saying, we worship we know not what? I know salvation is of the Jews. And then she, having cast herself on the king of the Jews, she makes a request. Verse 22, she makes a request. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Her poor daughter was out of control with fits of anger and supernatural strength that her mother could not control her. This poor mother looked into the crazed eyes of her daughter, and she saw that those are not the eyes of my daughter. Those are the eyes of another being. She is possessed. She is controlled with the devil. And this mother then runs out of her house, utterly helpless, knowing that she had no power over this devil that had possessed her daughter. And this Canaanite woman knew that she could not return home to face her daughter possessed with the devil. And so she had to fight for help, and that's what she's doing. This was the trouble that pressed this Canaanite woman to the Lord Jesus and drove her to call him God and to call him the son of David. Her first obstacle was that she had to fight her way over the barrier of being a Canaanite and confess that Jesus was the God of Israel and the son of David. Then she came to a second obstacle. This obstacle also blocked her way. And then we read about that in verse 23. He answered her not a word. He shunned her. She found no response from the Savior. He didn't acknowledge her. He didn't look at her. She can yell all she wants. He's pretending she's not there. Keep in mind there that the Lord Jesus is still in the mode of realizing I've been formed in my mother's womb to be my father's servant, to bring the Jewish people back to God, and I'm not going to be deterred by a Gentile woman who's trying to get me off track. So, you know, being ignored is so hard to endure that this woman, in all her desperation, she wasn't even acknowledged by the Lord Jesus. That was her second obstacle that she had to fight through, that she did, that would not discourage her from continuing on. Then her third obstacle came, which came from not the Lord, but from the disciples. In verse 23, his disciples came, besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." So now she hears this. She says this third obstacle that she's got to fight through is the close friends of the Lord, the confidence, the disciples, his disciples. She hears them tell him that they're accusing her. She's bothering us with her crying. And I'm sure the kind of looks that they must have looked at her and says, "You Canaanite, you know, leave the Jewish Messiah alone." But she fought her way through that. She fought her way through that third obstacle. She persisted in crying out to the Lord. Then she comes to her fourth obstacle, which was really hard for her. When the Lord finally does speak to her, "Oh, great, he's looking at me. He's going to speak to me now. Some hope is going to come." Instead, a big wall in verse 24. Verse 24, he answered and said, "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." You don't have the credentials. You're not part of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He looks at her, he is realizing that his calling, and he must focus on bringing Israel back to God. Time is limited. Time is short. Here is a woman that's not part of Israel. She represents a distraction from the Lord from doing what he's called to do. So he addresses her in verse 24 with, "I'm not sent to you. I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So now this poor Canaanite woman realizes that her birth is against her. And she hears the Lord tell her that she has crossed over the tracks to Israel's side. And when he tells her that he's been sent only to the lost, the Jewish people, we can see how the Lord is trying so hard for the Jewish people to come back to God. He wants them to accept him as their Messiah, as their shepherd, as their savior, as their king. And we can see how he's filled with this responsibility that he has gotten from God the Father. "Bring back, you're my servant. Bring back Jacob to God." So he tells this woman, "Look, I've only been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and you're not part of that." This was a fourth very hard obstacle that she did give up from. Now, in the face of this very hard fourth obstacle, the faith of this Canaanite woman shines. When it says just simply in verse 25, "Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me." She worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." She showed us what real worship is. She shows us that we worship the Lord Jesus Christ when we call him Lord, when we cast ourselves on him for his mercy with one request: "Help me." When you come to my house and you turn down the walkway to the front door there, there's a rock, and on that rock is this verse: "Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me." Why? Because the reason it's there is because it's a principle for all of life. For every need, come to the Lord Jesus. Worship him by calling him Lord and asking him for help. She leads us. She guides us. She's our example. This was how the woman fought through the fourth obstacle. Then came the final and the most hard fifth obstacle that she had to face, as now the Lord further replies to her in verse 26 when he says, "But he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. He just called her a dog, a dirty, mangy dog. I mean, if you got any pride, you're going to walk away. I'm not going to get called a dog. He has just accused her of trying to get him to take children's bread the children of Israel's bread, and to cast it to her, a dog. Now, at this point, it would have been real easy for Mrs. Canaanite here to just say, that's it. That's it. I've had enough abuse. I've just been called a dog. I'm finished. You can keep your God of Israel. I'm out of here. It would have been really easy for her to do that. Real easy. But not this Canaanite woman. Her pride was not hurt, even by being called a dog. And she thought to herself, he just called me a dog. Oh, that's my opportunity. She says, that's my opportunity I've been looking for. This is great. I've been called a dog. I'll take the place of a dog. And so he spoke to me. He spoke to me. I'm going to use what he said to appeal to him. And then she made a statement of no protest, no contest. When she said, beautiful, in verse 27, she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She says, truth, Lord. She says, if you want to call me a dog, color me a dog. I gladly accept the title of being a dog. I'll be a dog. And then with this tenacity of spirit, she's so quick on her feet. She thinks and she comes, she says, okay, I'm a dog, but dogs live. And how do dogs live? They live by eating the crumbs that fall from the table. She's so quick on her feet. She jumps and she says, you're right, Lord. That's it's not right to cast the children's bread to me, a dog, but dogs do eat the crumbs that fall off the master table. Hey, Lord, how about a few crumbs? Now, when the Lord heard that, he was just astounded. He was just astounded. Another gospel says, for that saying, because you said that, because you thought of that, because you were so quick, he no longer refers to her as a dog. In verse 28, now she's woman. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. His soul was so thirsty for that kind of response from the Jewish people, he never found it. He never found that kind of faith in Israel. But he did with her, and he rewarded her. And with that statement, this woman won. She won the fight. She won the battle. She had fought through with her tenacity over these five obstacles that blocked her way to help through the Lord Jesus. She persisted, and that's the reason why she's a forerunner of the Gentiles who with persistence would fight their way into the kingdom of the King of the Jews. So what we've seen today is that this fighting tenacity here of this great Canaanite woman who fought her way through one obstacle after another until she finally got through to the Lord. And for those are the reasons there that this person is our model. She's our model. She's our model on how we should fight to the Lord. She's our model for Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16, when it says, let us come boldly. Or if you will, let us come with tenacity. Or let us come with a fighting spirit. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this woman. We're looking so forward to meeting her. Help us, Lord, to have the flexibility, the tenacity, and to take your words and to argue and not give up until we reach our source of help, the Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Another wonderful day studying the Bible with our Bible teacher, Tom Cantor, here on Friendship with God. Don't forget that today's message and previous messages can be listened to and downloaded for free at friendshipwithgod.org. Friendshipwithgod.org. You can also go online to find free resources from Tom Cantor and our online bookstore at friendshipwithgod.org. You can also find Tom Cantor on Facebook, and you can also go to friendshipwithgod.org and sign up for his daily devotional. Tom Cantor is also the founder of Israel Restoration Ministries. You can visit that website at israelrestorationministries.org. You can write to Tom Cantor at P.O. Box 711330, P.O. Box 711330, Santee, California, Santee, California, 92071. Or email Tom Cantor at tomcantor@friendshipwithgod.org, tomcantor@friendshipwithgod.org. Or for more information about Tom Cantor and Friendship with God and Israel Restoration Ministries, call us at 800-247-3051.
Tom Cantor, Bible teacher on the Friendship with God radio program and founder of Israel Restoration Ministries, would like to invite you to celebrate Good Friday on Friday, March 30th at 7 p.m. at the Creation and Earth History Museum in Santee. Enjoy an evening of an in-depth Bible teaching from Tom Cantor, followed by a communion service on Good Friday at 7 p.m. Then join Tom in the Friendship with God Fellowship Sunday, April 1st at 5:30 p.m. for a special Easter Passover message. You are also invited to a Passover Seder dinner with Tom Cantor, Saturday, April 7th. The cost of the Passover meal is only $20. Enjoy great DZ Aikens food, fellowship, and a memorable Passover Seder message from Tom Cantor. The Friendship with God Fellowship Church is located inside the Creation and Earth History Museum in Santee, next to the Highway 67 and the Santee Drive-In. For more information, please call 619-599-1104. That's 619-599-1104. Or go to our website at friendshipwithgod.org. That's friendshipwithgod.org.